Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best, the number one, greatest innovation the game has brought in, 40-20.
No, it's a bit of your flood lights. They would cost too much. They're expensive.
So they're using biscuits.
The chat has already started. We're not even on, and the chat has started talking about the Challenge Cup. Welcome to 40-20 Live. It's the 25th of March. The quarter-final draw will be made later this evening. Phil's rattling biscuits around. One of Fox's... something rather.
We've got new biscuits.
They're beautiful.
Mm. Fox's Fabulous. Chocolatey Indulgent Creams Honeycomb.
They are very
chocolate
nice.
Chocolate coated shortcake biscuit with melt in the mouth creamy sex.
I mean, we've not even been paid to say this.
No.
No. That's in deference to Batley's fine effort against Castleford in the Cup and the Fox's Biscuits Derby on Good Friday.
When I worked in Batley, I should have worked in a biscuit factory rather than a bed factory, because that would have been great. I mean, it's nice getting cheap beds, but getting cheaper biscuits would be even better. Where do we start this week? Because it does appear that not a lot has happened. Or maybe it has happened, I just haven't noticed.
The Challenge Cup happened.
The Challenge Cup happened. Shall I read you what the people have been saying already? When my phone works out. James is trying to read them off the screen. I don't think I can make it any bigger. No. I need a bigger
can
monitor.
Can you read it, Phil? I can if I lean forward.
I just know it exists.
I just like the excitement of Richard playing Jack and Ori.
I'm just reassuring myself it's not just me.
No. It is small.
I can just about see the screen.
If I lean forward, I can.
I mean, everyone's obviously very excited because the draw is being made later, and there was a suggestion that I could do the draw on the programme before it's even made, but I forgot to cut out bits of paper numbers on. So, who's left in it? Well, I'll make it up. Here's the draw now. Castleford Huddersfield, Catalans Hull KR, St Helens Wigan, Warrington Leith. There you go, that's the draw.
It can't be Saints Wigan.
Why?
Well, they need a crowd at Wembley.
Well,
joking.
Hot ball.
The darts players aren't going to fix the draw. They're actual.
Well, one is a Wigan fan and a Saint. The other's a Saints fan, aren't they?
So we're saying they shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be allowed to do the.
No, they should be. Draw.
Celebrities, actual celebrities. If you like darts,
and you think it's a sport,
I can't.
Which I do, but I'm not getting.
Some people don't do that. I mean, those people are obviously wrong. But you know, it's like snooker. It feels like this is a desperate bank holiday Monday phoning. Is darts a sport? Phone us now. What do you think about that flag on the English? No. You were at Headingley, Phil, for Leeds versus St Helens.
I was.
Which, for once, was a game which will probably be better to watch in person rather than on the telly. We'll come to that in a moment. What happened?
It rained. The wind was very cold.
Was it all the referee's fault? Was it Chris Kendall's fault that Leeds lost?
St Helens are a fabulous defensive team. Leeds have not got the creativity to break them down at the moment. the sliding defence of Saints was superb, snuffed out any chance of Leeds going round them, and up the middle Saints were absolutely dominant. Apart from that, it was a good night.
It didn't match Saints up to match up to the week before, did
no,
it?
No, any hope that it was going to continue the week before and elevate it to a level just didn't happen.
How do you explain that, though? I mean, the weather was the weather not? I mean, you were there on both nights. So was the weather not similar on both? It was wet both nights, wasn't it?
It was. The wind was a factor.
Yeah.
Because there was even a couple of penalties early on where both teams elected not to kick for touch. So, but it was just one of those.
Yeah.
It was a try just before the interval changed the course of the game as it had the week before. But I think the Leeds showed a willingness to try and move the ball, but from what St Helens had learnt from the week before about not giving them the opportunity to do that, they snuffed it out. And I don't know many teams that are going to score against St Helens this year because their defensive systems are so strong. And they were worthy winners. It was nothing to do with policing of the ruck or the speed of the play of the ball.
I've seen something about offside being mentioned on a tweet, but I didn't bother clicking it because I didn't want to give the gratitude to the author that wrote it.
I think the truth was that Alex Walmsley was back to his rampaging best, and Leeds certainly don't have a forward to match him. Very few clubs do. Matty Lees again was outstanding. Morgan Knowles in the early stages was brilliant. St Helens suffocated the game because that's how you play cup tie football. Leeds' one try was a 90 metre interception, which was very well read by Harry Newman, but that was almost the sum total of what they created all night. And
did they put it down right? Because we haven't seen it.
Well, really? Well, I like the fact that, yes, true, actually, that. I think this, that was one of the moments where, not just the only, but one of the moments I shouted at the TV. I like the fact he didn't just cross the line and was happy
he
to cross the line.
John Yeah.
I mean, is that a reflection on him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Bennison did really well to chase back from the opposite side of the field. I think it's confidence rather than arrogance of a player to do that. I mean, he was never going to be stopped from scoring, but he improved the angle. It's a bit of showmanship.
It was that good. It kidded the TV. They cut to the crowd and they hadn't even scored.
But I do think that the concession of a try, which was again a poor defensive read just before half time, meant that the respective dressing rooms would have had very contrasting. If Leeds had gone in ahead 6-4 and not really deserved to be, that would have given them something to build on the back of. But the fact that Darrell Clark poached a try from a missed tackle that I think even the person concerned himself would have admitted wasn't his best attempt, and he had a good game otherwise, just changed that, because Saints are too good. When it was 10-6 to Saints, there was a kick to the corner that Ash Handley very nearly got to, but John Bennison read it superbly and just got to it first. If that had gone to 10-all, who knows, but what, Saints were in control most of the night.
What was the atmosphere like, because obviously you were there both nights?
I think that's going to lead into our debate about the Challenge Cup and subdued, partly because obviously the home crowd didn't have enough to cheer about, but also there is something missing from the Challenge Cup at the moment, and we will no doubt debate what we think that is and how you rectify it, and if indeed there is an answer to that. But you look at the crowds, particularly in an international football weekend, and they are a concern. And there's probably more than one reason for that. But looking at how the competition used to be is not going to tell you how it goes forward.
No, it felt almost a sad occasion. I don't know, somehow watching it. It felt like, you know, the sense of these are two big teams in the sense that both have been successful in Super League era. These are two big teams meeting early, if you can say that, in the rounds, and one of them is going to go out, and it didn't feel like there was a sense of jeopardy coming through the TV.
No, I think that's right, and I think if you look at, with, you know, honourable mentions to Sheffield, were, you know, for 70 minutes were in a contest with Wigan, You know, Castleford were held at half time at Batley. Featherstone put up a good show at Lee, but none of them won.
No, that's very difficult.
That's part of the issue. Do you want us to talk about the Challenge Cup yet?
We can talk about it now because I assume the internet's working now because it was broken earlier. But I think we're on. Possibly.
I just think that, as witnessed by those results, the romance has gone from the cup, and you can't recapture it because in all of the games that I either watched or listened to commentary of, the difference between part-time and full-time was exemplified in all of those games. So, you know, Batley were fantastic for 40 minutes playing.
They played downhill the first half, yeah.
But what beat them in the end, as well as players that are slightly more skillful who were full-time, is fitness.
Mm.
The same with Featherstone. You know, put up a great show against Lee, but ultimately a full-time professional team will almost always now beat a part-time team. Mm. I listened to Halifax and Catalan, and full credit to the commentator who tried to make out that it was a more competitive game than it actually was, because after 15 minutes when Tom Davies has scored three tries, you know Halifax are not going to win that game. I listened to Warrington and London, and we know what the disparity is. You know, London at the moment are almost still a championship team in transition. They're full time, but they're not at that level. And none of these games really were anything other than exemplifying the fact that oil and water no longer mix, and they're never going to. And you look at the crowds, and one of the things that people said was, oh, when a championship team gets a Super League team at home, that's what we want the cup to be, and there'll be a big crowd and there'll be a big payday. None of those games had big gates, because even if you go with the fact that it might be a slightly downgraded gate because it's shared, and you know, less than 2,000 at Halifax, you know, just over 2,000 apparently at Batley, it's not sustainable. So that even when they're at home and their home fans know that they're not going to win, they're not going to pay £20 or £25 to watch it. So that needs to be addressed, that full time part time. You can have whatever format of cup you want, but you're never going to address that. And the other thing is that these are all pay games, and we are now a season ticket culture. We're in a time in this part of the world where obviously economics weighs very heavily. So full credit to all the Saints fans that went 2 weeks running to Headingley and paid £20-25 each time they went. But do they really feel like they're getting value for money when it's the same game repeated? I think you're right, subdued is the word.
Yeah, and one of the arguments that people would say week in, week out on Super League is it's on TV and therefore the crowds will reduce. Well, actually, we've probably not seen that yet. We've got a week, and I get that, you know, it's pay through the gates, so the circumstances are completely different, but we had a week really where games weren't on TV and the crowds were low, so it doesn't necessarily follow. But the key thing is that, as you've said, people have to pay through the gate, and I think people just take a view that actually it doesn't really matter. If we get to a semi-final, I might go to the semi-final.
It's not value for money. It's all about the final. Because if you buy a season ticket and your average price of the game is probably £15, or between 10 and 15, depending on the season ticket deal you can get, to be asked to pay 25 for one game is disproportionately expensive. Yeah. Not saying that the games aren't worth it, but we have bred this season ticket culture, which I understand, because, you know, clubs are getting their money up front.
I was going to ask you, but then I thought you're not a season ticket holder, probably, at least. But were season ticket holders offered an incentive to buy it?
So, are they allowed? Because it's a shared gate, aren't they? So you'd have to run it by the other club as well to say, well, if we do the tickets at this price.
But would the same incentive be offered to season ticket holders for both clubs to say you can buy a ticket for, I don't know, the 12 is, quid, 14 quid instead of 20 quid?
You don't know until quite late who you're playing. You don't know who's at home. You don't know the cost of hiring a stadium. So if you're Huddersfield or Wigan or Hull, you've got a deal in place with the cost of your stadium. Doesn't alter whether it's a cup tie or a Super League game. You're a limit to what you can do with your ticket prices. But I think that it's a fundamental issue about full time and part time, and nothing to do with what it was like in the 1950s or. If you want to go somewhere from here and you want to have group stages, then to me the only logical thing you can do is now to divorce the Challenge Cup from the 1895 Cup and call it the Super League Cup if you want. You can have a group stage at the beginning of the season so you don't have meaningless pre-season friendlies, and then you've got Super League clubs playing each other but for a reason. You could also do it in a way that maybe you had, you got 12 teams, so you know, it makes sense that you could possibly have three groups of four or four groups of three. Those games are meaningful at the start of the season. You may well want to pay to watch those because it could be the first time you've seen your team play. You can make them derby fixtures if you want. The 1895 sort of worked. Mm. And you could have the group stages running side by side. You don't, you know, your Championship and your League One teams who are part-time then have the chance to get to Wembley solely through the 1895 Cup. Your Super League teams have more meaningful games, and you know that the likelihood is that from here on in, for time immemorial, the Challenge Cup final is going to be between two Super League teams. So call it the Super League Cup.
I was thinking about this earlier, especially with the FA Cup, which is the most similar competition we can think of. There's all this, it's almost a cliche now, the magic of the cup. It's a cliche they just pull out on the TV when provincial side from the north plays Premier League side from the north. Oh, look at that. Look, Leeds are playing at Man United or whatever.
Leeds is provincial.
Well,
let me pick up on that.
Halifax
one.
Town are playing Manchester United. I tell you what, I was surprised Halifax played yesterday because Halifax Town's game on Saturday was called off. I was thinking,
primacy of rugby league.
Could if, can imagine Catalan's getting there and it gets called off. That's magic, isn't it? When was the cup last magic, if it ever was? When did the romance go out of the FA Cup? Because everyone's going to say now it's when Super League started, and then a couple of years later the grand final came in and that took all the shine off the Challenge Cup final.
Well, I think when we went full time.
So then there was less chance of...
Yeah.
What's been the only shock in the last 20 years? Swinton beating Huddersfield?
Bradford beat Leeds.
Oh, Bradford are back, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah. And then Swinton beating Huddersfield.
But the fact that it's so hard to think of a shock...
In a sport like rugby league, it's different to football.
Yeah,
you know, you snatch a goal, though, you can, you know, on the counter,
10
or
men
whatever.
Behind the ball.
Yeah,
but I think we were talking about it briefly downstairs. The thing about the football now, particularly the upper echelons, is that there are too many competitions. So if you're Liverpool, say, and you're in Europe and you've got the League Cup and you've got the FA Cup and you've got the Premier League and you've probably got to fly off on your international weekends and play in Dubai or whatever it might be. Clubs are now using the cup competitions to play their second string team or their squad players. So you've got a chance that there'll be an upset, whereas we don't have the opportunity to do that. So I don't think you can compare us to the FA Cup anymore. There could be a Portsmouth that could win the FA Cup. They might come up against, you know, Manchester United reserves, effectively.
And equally,
we don't have those
teams, though, through that structure are full-time. You know, if you're in the Championship, you're in League One, you're still full-time playing a full-time professional team in the Premier League, so that the difference is should, in theory, be less.
But, you know, there's been drop-off in the FA Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, and I think in all cup competitions, name your sport where a knockout competition is absolutely thriving at the moment.
The old cricket competition, the Benson Edges Cup, that was at the start of the season. Well, in the NatWest struck Gillette at the second half of the season. They were big televised events, but they don't exist anymore. Rugby Union got rid of its cup properly years ago. The one that had the final at Twickenham, which Leeds won once. Remember Leeds? Remember whatever happened to Leeds? And that's now just a reserve team competition, I think.
It would be a big call, though, wouldn't it, to rename the Challenge Cup in effect?
I'm not saying you have to.
Oh, just the fuss we've had with the Harry Sunderland Trophy.
You need the Challenge. But what I'm saying
is, it remains as a Challenge Cup, but it's just for Super League teams.
The Challenge Cup is for Super League teams, the 1895 Cup, or whatever you want to call it after that sponsorship.
Whether you involve the community clubs in that in the same way that the Challenge Cup is.
Well, I think they should be in the 1895 Cup. Mm. There's no reason why they shouldn't be in a cup that potentially gets them to Wembley.
Mm.
But what you wouldn't want at the moment, and we haven't got now because the Super League clubs come in later, is you're not going to get the chance of... Mm. You know, the great thing for Siddle was playing Wakefield.
Former Giants Wakefield.
But I'm not sure that playing Salford would be of any benefit to them.
But if you go to a group stage, group Challenge Cup, which is in effect what IMG were suggesting, weren't they, that you... could you not build that into your season ticket and have that designed pre-season
when
you produce your fixture list? These are your fixtures in the group stages. It's included
because
in your season ticket.
You've got a certain number of home fixtures Now, whether everybody in the group plays each other home and away, probably not necessary. Mm. But you know, if you've got one or two home games, that is part of your season ticket. So then your 10,000 season ticket holders have got no reason not to go. I just think it gives more meaning early in the season. It gives you the opportunity, marketing-wise, to decide if you do want to include it, and why wouldn't you? And you get a great event at Wembley because you're appealing to different spectator bases. You're not holding out this promise of romance when it clearly doesn't exist. You know, you're getting excited about Wakefield being 80 minutes away from Wembley. Do we're never going to do that in the Challenge Cup?
No. Even when we were 80 minutes away from Wembley, it just wasn't happening. So here's the ideas people have come up with, which, you know, why don't we have an open draw from round one? Now, interestingly, because it seems to be forgotten, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, for a long, long time, the Challenge Cup didn't have any amateur teams. It all had one or two amateur teams. It didn't have this spread of teams we're having now in the Army and whatever else did. So, does that work? Can we just stick in, you know, Wigan in round one with...
Well, it'd be just ludicrous, isn't it? You know.
There's a duty of care issue amongst, you know, with the greatest respect to, you know, a community-based team, you wouldn't want them playing a professional team. It's, you know.
No, it just doesn't work.
Can you imagine Newcastle, who we all hope will pull through and make, you know, at this stage, that they were given York and Wakefield in the 1895 Cup. What would have happened if they'd been given a Wigan or St Helens?
I mean, I remember going to watch Huddersfield Giants play. They probably were Giants at the time. They played, was it Blackpool Gladiators or something?
Was it,
what
is
they
this called? The 140 game?
132-0 or something like that. That was a cup game, but I mean, that's a semi-professional team playing.
No, you don't want an open draw.
Right, so...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What about,
in my opinion,
no,
this round of the Challenge Cup, as many people have brought up, Trust No One and Steve Mascord. This is the magic weekend. All these eight ties are played at Ellenrad, for the want of a better.
But you've still got to have competitive games. And my worry is that you're just tinkering on the edges of the real problem, which is full-time and part-time don't mix.
And, you know, you're trying to sell a concept, aren't you, that may have been drawn 2 weeks before. If you're selling Magic Weekend, you don't know which teams are playing because you've got to have the previous rounds.
Yeah, nor do you know what venues are going to be available.
So
I also think as well that part of the problem at the moment is the Challenge Cup and the 1895 Cup seem almost divorced. So if you could line them up to be being played together, then you would get more interest and a stronger narrative leading you then into a final where, you know, both competitions end up at Wembley.
Is the date changing issue? People keep saying the date keeps changing for the final. Now, we do get a year's notice.
It doesn't help. We discussed that last year, didn't we? What was it? How many, five different months in however many years that we've had a Challenge Cup final. But that's not a reason why people haven't gone in their thousands this weekend to watch games, is it, frankly?
On a weekend when there wasn't a lot else, to be honest.
That's the other opportunity missed there, isn't it, this weekend? It's almost if we needed the Challenge Cup, right, it can't be next week because it's rivals round and we can't have Good Friday without Saints Wigan, the world will end if we do. We almost needed the round of Super League this week so we can have every game on the telly and the Challenge Cup the week before, but we couldn't have that because it doesn't work in the calendar. We need to be smarter about where we fit things in the year in the way that snooker and darts do, that when there's an international break in football, there's something on. Even though this week there was nothing on. It was a really strange weekend when nothing was happening.
And you know, isn't it sort of typical of rugby league that we've had games on every week, and then the one weekend where you can think there's nothing on. Equally, I mean, I know it was on, the Friday game was on iPlayer, but dear me, it was terrible.
We're just going to build up to that and then talk about that later.
I think I'm glad I was there.
I think you were.
You were. Don't watch it back.
Although we might be coming on to that soon. Carson lighted up Wembley last year, so that's good.
I think the answer to the crowds at Wembley is legitimate in terms of that date moving. That needs to be fixed, and then you it's a fixed date in your calendar, and you build to that, and then the scheduling needs to be fixed. But it's not an answer. It's not an answer for what happened this weekend, and it's not an answer going forward.
I also think that having it in the middle of the season is the right place to have it, so that you do have the... We have had three or four really good weeks to the start of the season. We know that the grand final now will attract the biggest attendance of the year. Something in the middle of the season that highlights you, and again, hopefully timed around a weekend when maybe there isn't too much else going on. Wembley still has a lure and attraction. Ask the teams that are playing in the 1895... both supporters and players, how much it means to them to be playing at Wembley, whether there's 3,000 in when the time their game's played or 23,000, it means everything. And I think if you start building that, you know, tradition of the date was early May. If we can stick somewhere in or around that date, then you can start creating a tradition. And I think if you've got four different teams there every year, plus your two women's teams who might make it six every year, then you've got an event you can build around. Whereas if you have it too close to the grand final, or you had it, I mean, we had a ludicrous bank holiday weekend, you know, the last weekend before kids were going back to school, you were never going to get a different audience there. If we know now we're going to have it always at the same weekend of the year, maybe that's the middle of June, if that's now what we're going to stick at, and kids are still at school, they haven't started the summer holidays, and you can get back to that, let's take them down there and give them a day out. Yes, but you could never do that in August.
There isn't a simple answer to this. This is the problem. Everyone writes these articles. Five ways we can save the challenge. Cup competitions are almost an anachronism from the Victorian age before they invented leagues. And when you look at rugby union, they didn't have leagues until the 80s. It's like 1980s.
It's worth persevering, yes, because I think it's a commodity that adds real value to the sport. I mean, you've refereed a Challenge Cup final. It must be a fantastic event, even, you know, from your point of view.
Absolutely, because
it's such a prestigious afternoon in the sports calendar.
It's the oldest competition in rugby league, isn't it? You know, and it still holds a soft spot in most rugby league's fans' sort of hearts, doesn't it? I think that's why people are probably passionate and probably a little bit despondent about it in some ways, but I think you're right, there isn't an easy answer. I'm almost of the view that the group stage is the way to go, because it provides a certainty of the fixture, and you can put it into your season ticket, and you've got to get bums on seats. And you know, tuning in on Friday, it just looked terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, and
when you
talk about commerciality of the sport, isn't it, and driving revenue,
but
and
when you think the previous week that venue was buzzing,
I know, I'm for the same fixture.
Double the amount of people in there, then something clearly isn't quite working for the fans. Because as a fixture, it should have been more exciting than the week before. Because the week before had been a really good game between, you know, two relatively evenly matched teams. So you go in there with the hope and expectation you're going to get at least the same again. The fact that you didn't get it doesn't really matter. It's the fact that only half as many people went. So something clearly is out of kilter. And we've spoken before about, we have matches in pre-season that are duplicates of what's coming up in Super League.
But also the group stages.
Almost the week before. So if you turn that into something meaningful.
But the loop fixtures would go in theory, wouldn't it?
They'd have to.
With the Challenge Cup group game. I'm sure people would rather see a group game in the Challenge Cup than... in effect, it's a loop fixture, isn't it? Because you'd probably play that team.
And
again,
if you know you're getting a home fixture and you want to call that somebody's testimonial game, there's nothing to stop you doing that either. Mm. So I just think we need to play with the cards we've got rather than the ones that we think we are used to have. And it would be great if the 12 apostles were still playing in round one. And
it kind of feels, and it has felt for a while, by the way, that it only really gets serious at the semi-final stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that's the same in the FA Cup as well. I know that we're comparing apples and oranges, but I think that's the same as well. Yeah. As much as ITV and BBC can say magic of the cup, it's not really there until you're in the semi-finals. You are at Wembley in the FA Cup, and the League Cup's the same, unless you are next to the game. What are the crowds like in the whatever the third division football competition, the Otto Winscreen's Papa John's Trophy? No one cares about that until you're getting to Wembley. Mm. So,
but the semi-finals have been events, you know, in the last few years. The semi-final I did Wigan Saints at Elland Road a couple of years ago. It was a great game, and it was a great day. And obviously, it was a double-header with the men's other semi-final. And on that day, they had the women's final, didn't they? But you know, I don't know. The group stage just sort of feels like it has to be the only way to do it.
Split it now. I do think that's the only answer. That listening to some of the games this weekend, and you know, gallant performances, but an unfair advantage merely by virtue of the fact that full time and part time can't play against each other.
The alternative is you pick out, you know, the top six or whatever it is from the Championship.
But that hasn't worked this
finishing
year.
The year in, I know it hasn't, but it provides some element of reward if you finish in, say, in that top six or whatever.
But what is the reward apart from getting beaten in a low crowd? What is the reward? I don't think that's the problem. This weekend has highlighted
how many crowds will Batley get this year at 2,000?
But if Halifax had got 5,000,
yeah,
and if Batley had got,
but then they only had a week to, you know, to publicise it, didn't they? And if it's in your fiction list, and you can,
I would think that Batley and Dewsbury on Good Friday will get a similar crowd to the one Batley had for Castleford.
Yeah.
I know prize money is an issue, and obviously, as we've read, teams are losing money hosting games in the competition. But one thing we do have to remember about prize money is, I told Fred, his adverts can be on the telly these days. He can advertise his bookmakers wherever he wants. Now, the good people at Silkcut, they couldn't advertise their SIGs on the telly because it was banned. So the only time they got TV advertising was sponsoring all of the sport, which is why I mentioned Benson Hedges earlier, Embassy Snooker and Darts. Everything was sponsored by SIGs, and they could put money in because they couldn't spend it on TV advertising. Now, is that an excuse for prize money being rubbish these days? No, of course it should be bigger, blah, blah, blah. But we've got to remember that fact, that for 20-odd years, this sport was funded by the tobacco industry.
But I don't see what upping the prize money does, really, because it's not that the teams didn't do it a disservice. The teams are not doing it a disservice. It's just that there's not really the public buying to the competition, really. Yeah.
So if the public aren't buying into it, then we know where it will end up eventually. And so we can't see it going on.
And it's easy to say, oh, it's the RFL's fault because X, Y and Z. No, it's not. You know, everybody's got a duty. If you're a season ticket holder and you didn't go to the Challenge Cup game this weekend, you'd have to ask yourself, well, why? I mean, I'm not a season ticket holder, so I don't, you know, it's difficult for me to answer. We can assume, can't we? But hypothesise, but ultimately one would think, well, hang on a minute, I don't want to fork out 25 quid.
We got a very romantic final last year between two teams that finished fourth and fifth in Super League. So, you know, what we want are the opportunity for, you know, Super League teams who perhaps won't make a grand final to have a day out at Wembley.
See, Andy is a Warrington fan who thinks it's going to be a Warrington Wigan final, by the way. That's what everyone wants, he says. Everyone outside St Helens will want to see it. But he does say he would swap a Super League win for a Challenge Cup every time. But that's, you know, that's a complete hypothetical thing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to ask his age. Just because I think the younger generation would prefer to win the Super League Grand Final because that's what they've grown up with, it being effectively the premier trophy, the premier competition, isn't it? I think it harks back to another era, really, in some ways, doesn't it?
And the answer,
I'm not trying to take anything away from the Challenge Cup because it still is prestigious, as you've suggested, and as I've already said when I refereed it, I was absolutely delighted to do it. But
I don't think you can compare anything we do in the history we've got with Australia, but it is noticeable that they don't have a cup competition. And the cup competition they used to have was a midweek cup competition, which again, a lot of the top line teams didn't put all of their best players in, and it gave the opportunity for either representative teams or metropolitan teams to come in and play them purely for television on the midweek, because what they have is a sacrosanct league competition that is a narrative that rolls on week to week, and the stories from this week become the tales of next week. So everybody wants to know when South Sydney are going to win their first, yeah, but and the crowds are up, and they build it to this peak event at the end of the season. We sort of have got a little bit of that, but we're also carrying a Challenge Cup, which means so much to us. Mm. How do you manage to balance those two? And we haven't had to do that before.
What did we do when we had the County Cups and the Regal Trophy as well?
Yeah. It was a different era. And it gave more people a chance to win things because they were all off a relatively level playing field. Mm.
And he's 55. So he's one of the...
Yeah, but that's a false theory, people, doesn't it?
Yeah. Don't say that.
The so Queen stopped going to the Rugby League Challenge Cup finals when the last one she attended was sponsored by Silk Cut. She never attended another again. Didn't give her enough free cigs, obviously.
So. They all went to the media.
Yeah. Can't libel the Queen, so that's all right. Which was going to be a great feature on Radio Yorkshire, but we'd never got into that one. James says, he says, quickly moving on, it's a bit like the Scottish Cup in a way. Big gap from all the other sides and Rangers and Celtic. Similar gap from semi-pro in the Championship and the pros of Super League. I should have said the Scottish FA Cup, shouldn't I? I should have used that as the example. Which I think is older than the FA Cup. It's wider as well. The Barcelona white ones. That was the Challenge Cup. Apart from the TV coverage of Friday night. Now, I was working, so I've recorded this to watch back because I need to write something in my column because I still haven't watched it. That's Helen's document.
That is his column.
That's exactly what I said. I sent a message to Richard on Friday night. I said, well, that's your column written.
Well, let's see what I've written so far in my notes because I've written three things down so far. First is JJB says domestiques. Can you remember what he said it the other week and I can't remember why. Second,
domestiques is
what? Yeah. I don't even know
what that means.
It's like they're using the Tour de France for like the rubbish riders or something, or the young riders or something. I don't mean not saying Leeds players are rubbish. That's what I'm saying. Harry Newman not putting the ball down. Well, we didn't see it. Says, and then the third point I've put is Adam Fogarty was in Beyond Paradise getting killed at the same time as the Challenge Cup was on. So that's your rugby league column this month on TV. Beyond Paradise, Adam Fogarty was there, presumably killed with the Harry Sunderland trophy in the back.
Right. I assume from your comments about the coverage, it wasn't the same level of technical commitment that we normally see
on this programme. Yeah,
with a Super League.
Can put two cameras
correct,
up if you want.
Correct. I mean, it was I was going to say it was a two camera production. It wasn't because they had a tight and a wide angle from the south stand. And they must have had one in the southeast corner because for some unknown reason, whenever there was a penalty goal or conversion attempt on that east stand, they would choose that southeast stand.
Yes, it was
camera.
A weird angle, wasn't
so
it?
So you had no idea whether the ball went through the post or not. Instead of using the main south stand camera, which had a perfect view of whether the ball went through and you could see the touch of just flags, they for some reason chose that angle where nobody could tell anything.
So is this a directorial issue? Or I mean, the other thing is we didn't have video referees, which in some respects sped the game up and was quite nice. And you went with whatever the referee on the field said. Don't think he got anything obvious wrong. If Harry Newman's try had been in a Super League game, we'd have spent 10 minutes deciding whether he was offside or not. But people just got on with the game and I don't understand though why we didn't have video referees, because if it's a prestigious
cost, it'll all be but all about cost, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, clearly, you know, the BBC minimised the cost, didn't they, on that Friday game with having a minimal number of cameras. I switched off at half time, but I understand.
Sorry, Leeds,
yeah, I understand that they didn't even have any discussion at half time. It was clips shown of footage from another game,
which. I will say it's fair enough because.
So there was no presenter, no analysts.
It's just straight into. It was like the coverage of the early rounds of the competition where they're at
the amateur
wherever,
games, yeah.
So, but then you ask the question, well, that's fine for. And this is going to sound like I'm disrespectful to Cyril versus whoever, aren't I? But that's fine for the Army versus whoever, but it's not for two Super League teams because.
It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to me.
Well,
that
people will make the comparison with the week before when it was the all singing, all dancing, full stadium.
And not just that, but it felt like there was very little crowd noise, so whether they had a sound boom or not from the crowd, it didn't seem that there was no ref's mic, which for most people might be joyous, so you don't have to hear the whole go. But for me, detracted, because you, particularly when you hear those conversations where he brings players out, because there was a fracas, wasn't there, ended up almost in the south stand. Mm-hmm. That's the time where you want to hear what the referee's actually saying to the players. So I thought it lacked a little bit of that. The direction and selection of cameras was poor, and I didn't think the commentary was very good. So all in all, I thought it was a poor effort from the BBC, and then, you know, for what we've said about the prestigious competition, it doesn't come across that way. But having said that, if rugby league's public can't get behind it and support it in the numbers, then why should the broadcaster? If you want to play devil's advocate,
they would have been better not showing it. It just looked poor. It just looked poor, and to miss someone putting the ball down for a try to show the crowd, I don't understand that. And you go back to the next day when the sportsmen are doing their game, it looks much better. Now, that shouldn't be the case. Whether they only decided to have so many cameras there because it's only on the red button, I don't know. I mean, this shows you the difference between when we spoke at the start of the season when Sky announced they were showing all the games, and we didn't know exactly what the other games were going to look like. Were they going to be, when they had that experiment a few years ago when they showed some games on the red button where they shouldn't have done because they weren't allowed to, and it was just one or two cameras, wasn't it? But as it turns out, it's more than acceptable for TV coverage, what Sky are putting out there for the games that will be eventually streaming on the normal TV. But this was
The other thing I don't understand is, you know, quite rightly say it's only on the red button. It's actually on Sky.
On Channel 9.
Sky Channel 970.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, is the
BBC. Careful with those numbers in the 900s.
And so obviously, yes, as far as the BBC are concerned, it's behind their traditional programming. But if you wanted to record the game, if you wanted to see it in a similar style as you say, the games that are not the featured games on Sky, the Super League Plus games, if you like, then you could still watch it.
The thing is, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I don't know whether the BBC pay to broadcast the Challenge Cup.
Well, there's a big question that no one knows.
Never been.
No. But then, how do you... You know, if you're a public broadcaster paid by a licence fee, you have to justify the spend. It's like a local council when I used to work at Leeds City Council. How do you then justify spending additional money on a game?
The BBC's argument is the money that they're putting into showing the Super League can only come out of a similar sort of budget of something has to suffer. So this round of the Challenge Cup now is, for want of a better word, downgraded in terms of the resource they'll put into it. But it's not that they're not putting that resource into rugby league, it's just that
they've got a pot of money, and they've spread that in different ways, haven't they, by showing Super League games. Some of which are on the red button, some of which will be on TV.
Some of which will be on BBC Three.
But the quality of those games, the broadcast of those games, is far better. Yes.
Because they're taking Sky's feet, which they are with the Catalans White again this weekend. That's going to be Sky's production. So although Sky they won't mention Sky on the broadcast because it's been taken on the BBC.
Because Sky have paid for that production, they just take the feed. So the cost to them is minimal.
Yeah.
So it probably costs them more to do Friday's game than it does to do the Super League games, in actual fact. I know they've got to pay a presenter and they've got to pay a commentary team, etc., but an analyst and
production
that.
Production team.
But yeah.
Someone to count the... Oh, they didn't have the tackle count on. I mean, I can do graphics on here.
Well, I saw something on Twitter about some people making the mistake. I think it was Facebook, actually. They sent Helen's STH
like fifth.
With a red background and looked like fifth tackle. And I actually thought, well, they're not even in red and white. They're in black and red. Yeah. The colours aren't quite right. Whether that was because it wouldn't look great in terms of being able to read it, fine. But
a bit like Lee's numbers.
Correct. All in all, you should be glad you were there and not watching it on TV.
Oh, I was delighted when I got the feeling back in my feet. Yeah. Now, the whole of the round, and there probably isn't a lot of point analysing every game.
Well, since we've seen none of them.
Well, I've listened to a lot of them. It felt as though it wasn't an occasion.
Mm.
Which, we're going to get a quarter-final draw later tonight, which is going to be another round of Super League games, isn't it? So we've ended up where we say we think the competition is by the second round that the Super League teams have come in.
I can see the demographics of our viewers on the YouTube and who listen to the podcast are listeners. What I can tell by the chat is about 50% of our audience are called Ian.
No, babies are not called Ian these days, are they?
Ian says, why has Phil got a downer against Halifax? We were playing Catalan. How many will have come over from France for this game?
I haven't got a downer.
There's no downer.
There's no downer. It's the reality of...
against Hull this week. That was the thing. They kept spelling things wrong on the graphics as well. At half-time it said Catalan and not Catalans. And they spelled the word lightning wrong, which I thought was very poor for the national broadcaster. I mean, if I spell things wrong, I'm ticked. But...
we're not making a point about any team other than the fact that you cannot expect a part-time team to compete against a full-time team, and that will affect the attendance when it's an all-pay attendance. And there's no detraction of Halifax supporters, but clearly not that many of them went, because some of them will have thought it's a tough spend, and others will have thought, do I really want to go when I sort of know there's a foregone conclusion that I'm going to watch?
See, yeah, but having said that, I mean, I remember the days when, you know, Dewsbury played Wigan, I think, in the Challenge Cup, and it being, you know, something that, wow, this is, you know, Dewsbury,
but
yeah, you know, Jason Robinson and all those. And,
yeah, but that's at the start of when you're starting to realise that you're never going to get parity between the two.
But you went as a Dewsbury fan knowing that there's no chance of winning. But you went, in a way, a little bit like the World Cup Challenge, to see the stars that you see on TV in person now, whether that's because it was a Championship club playing a Super League team, I don't know. But I would imagine, I don't know whether the gates, if you go back 20 years, the gates would be higher, wouldn't they, for the equivalent round? But it's
but there wasn't as much rugby league on telly either. So if you wanted to watch that Wigan team, there was an incentive to go. Now you can watch that Wigan team play every week on telly.
I dare say the technical quality of the BBC's coverage would have been better in the 1950s at any league, rather than it was on...
when there was a spiral staircase. Yeah,
a bit harsh. Ian Baldsworth, he knows about making films and stuff, much more than I do. It was vanity directing, trying to find arty rain shots rather than covering the game. Just in case you didn't know it was raining. Was it raining?
Heavily.
Raining. Carson says, just want to buy tickets to fly to the Magic Weekend. Has Phil got space for a tent? There's plenty of places around Ellen Road.
Consider it done, Carsten.
It's one of the more luxurious areas of Leeds. I'm sure you know that, but Carsten, just don't leave your tent anywhere unattended in Beeston, South Leeds, isn't it?
I think we'll probably find him some accommodation in the north of the city, should he need
it. Is that the Challenge Cup done? I think there's nothing more we can talk about the Challenge Cup. Apart from the game, I mean, there's nothing to say about the games that happened either, is there? I don't think.
Well, I don't think people would have predicted, was it 40-0 Hull KR?
We do need to talk about the other. Yeah. So the Hull club. So obviously going into the derby on Friday, Hull KR winning 40-0, as you say, that's a surprise, because Salford are a decent team. We know this. That's a surprise result. Hull FC conceding 50, that's not a surprise. What is going on? There's no point in spending half an hour on Hull FC. I think we said it all last week about them. They're just a complete basket case. Whereas Salford, you go, well, they'll bounce back this week. They've got rivals around them. They're playing Lee. They're big rivals. Yeah. So they'll bounce back in that.
The other thing about the Challenge Cup and its knockout format is clearly there comes a point when, as a team, you know you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Which is not to say you then necessarily take your foot off the gas, but you know there's nothing that you can do that can change this result. There's no point putting down a marker for the following week and perhaps even risking injury if you're already 20-30 points behind. You know, London will have been credible at Warrington, but they would have known very early on that they weren't going to win that. They gave debuts to a couple of young players, which is great to see, but that when it gets to 20, you're not going to come back from that.
No points difference to play for.
No.
But that Huddersfield Hull FC result is embarrassing again. But
conceding 15 consecutive weeks.
Well, I don't know what the cumulative points conceded is, but it's mounting, isn't it?
Ryan Hall getting closer to overtaking something in the try scorers table, because he scored two at the weekend in the cup.
No, because they were in the cup, not in the Super League.
In the Women's Super League, Women's Challenge Cup even. It's all sponsored by Betfred, I get confused. Barrow, who lost to Cardiff the week before, almost beat Wigan, but Wigan scored a goal in the last minute or last few minutes to win 20 points to 18. Support Barrow. Cardiff,
great win,
58-0 over Salford. Get them in Super League. 5 tries for Healy, whose name I've not got because it's on the back page of the paper. Featherstone 38, Sheffield 6. So that's a deep, you know, to say that Sheffield are in the Championship and Featherstone are in the Super League. Leeds winning 19 at Hull KR. Well done to Hull KR for playing and not giving up. Well done for Leeds' record score, I think I read on Twitter or something.
I think it was maybe too shy.
Too shy, sorry. Maybe they'll break it next time. Huddersfield beat Lee 36-6 and Warrington beat London away from home 24-6. And again, close result for, you know, London again, another team who are building things somewhere other than the north of England. The disappointing thing is, of course, that Bradford couldn't raise a team and lost to St Helens 48-0. The bookmakers had St Helens winning that one 70-0, so that's actually, it could have made it harder for London or Warrington had they had results differently qualifying for the next round, but it hasn't, so it's okay. But I don't think they should be in the competition next year. I don't think any club that forfeits a game in the, and this goes for Castleford as well, how can Castleford pull out the competition and play a game at the weekend? They pulled out the Challenge Cup weeks ago, but they played a game, so they've got players. So how can you, so you don't get invited back? Invite the army or someone else, and it,
Catalan.
It don't matter if they get beat. Invite another team, Alton or whatever. It don't matter if they get
Catalan
beaten.
Catalan women and £500,000 bond.
Because at least they've fulfilled their features. How easy would it have been for Hull KR just to say
absolutely?
And Bradford say they've got legitimate reasons why. That's fair enough. But they shouldn't have so many injuries after 1 week where they can't fulfil a fixture the next week. And if players can't get time off work, but what can you do? Shouldn't be
and,
in the competition.
And it was a home
sorry
game as well.
I know people think this is anti-Bradford again, weather, but it's anti anyone who does that. So same for Castleford. I don't know when the next women's games are. Probably this weekend, I don't know. We'll see. League One. North Wales won at Cornwall 40 points to 16 at Truro. Keith Lee beat Workington 58-16.
Midland top of the league.
There you go.
Big
top
win
of
that.
The league. Yeah.
There's two big losses though. Workington had the first 2 weeks. I know they played, was it Oldham in that first game, to be fair, and Keith Lee probably the two favoured, but two big scores.
Yeah, I mean, they were only 10 points above Newcastle on points. There was Newcastle lost by 70 points to 16 at Midlands, which is obviously a great result for Midlands, but Newcastle still trying to build something. 377 at Midland, so they're trying to build something as well. And the obviously game of the weekend, Rochdale 24, Hunslet 26, in front of just short of 450. So an important win for Hunslet, who are the other team at the top of the table with 2 wins from 2.
And who plays each other this week? It's some fantastic games. Whoa. Hunslet Keighley at the top. Newcastle working to
wow.
the bottom,
yeah.
Which again, you know, not quite a local derby, but a lot of interest in that. North Wales Midlands and Oldham Rochdale.
Almost just rivals round in League One.
And the same in the, obviously it's derby fixtures in the Championship,
yeah, where
as well.
Bradford take on Halifax, Dewsbury Batley, Doncaster Sheffield, Featherstone Wakefield, Whitehaven Barra, Widnes Swinton and York versus Toulouse on the Sunday.
At well-known derby.
Yeah, I mean, why is York Toulouse not on anywhere this weekend? Why is Featherstone away?
But those all look really good fixtures in both of those divisions.
I just think if Premier Sports, if the clubs had signed that deal last week, which wasn't going to be signed, all these games would be on this week because they're going to show all the games on their non-existent TV channels that no one's picked up on the fact that they don't have any TV channels yet. But that's good, isn't it? So,
I mean, the one thing we do know about rugby league is that if you put a competitive game on, it's worth watching. And that goes back to the beginning of this talk about the Challenge Cup. But all of those games, if you're a neutral fan, you might think, I could go to any of those and I will see a competitive game that really means something in a context where there's something at stake. Well, that's what we haven't got in the Challenge Cup at the moment, in my opinion. I think you can have it, but you have to manipulate it and now acknowledge that to get those games that mean something and that are between teams who are relatively evenly matched, you have to keep them apart.
West Tigers won again.
Won it well.
So that's exciting.
Benji can coach.
That's all the news from the NRL. South India's still rubbish as well.
There's only one team undefeated.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, if you...
Are they going to remain undefeated after they play the Brisbane Broncos this week?
Clearly not. But again, what you want at the beginning of a year is the fact that you think that your team that was poor last year can be great this year, or the uncertainty that your team that was great last year is still going to be this year, and that after three rounds, only one team is undefeated.
Local media is brilliant. I'm a big fan of the BBC Cumbrian Sport Twitter feed, because if they can find any tiny piece of Cumbria in any national sport event, they will find it. Steve Borthwick's from Cumbria, apparently. Coaches some useless rugby team, apparently. But they'll find anything. The Wakefield Express needs to do the same with Dom Young, because he played well again. I mean, apparently they were playing against, you know, some rubbish. But there he was. Scored a try, did some running around. He's got lovely hair. He's brilliant. He's a role model for everyone in Wakefield. I just wish I had his hair and his height. And his weight, to be honest.
Apart from and his talent.
And his talent, yeah. All that stuff.
And his money.
And his money.
I think about the Super League fixtures this weekend.
It's rivals round.
It's, yeah, and I think what's interesting is this the first weekend we'll have in Super League where every game you can watch, in the sense of they're all on at different times on different days, so you don't, you know, you don't have to go back and hope that they don't show the score or whatever as you're watching the whole game live, etc. So I think, you know,
brilliant.
I know that's happened before, but.
But again, it goes back to, we've got out of this cycle of we have to have two games over each. If you have one game and you can spread it out, and you can, you know, again, tell the stories, you can go from, you know, watching Hull Hull Cars straight into watching Wigan Saints. You create an impact with all of that.
Someone pointed out earlier, we do have a weird fixture formula, don't we? Because...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Hull and Hull Cars again.
Playing Catalan again.
Yeah, Wigan don't play Hull and Hull round 18 or something. Which is big disappointment for Wigan, because they might have gone through about three coaches by then. But
the thing is, Warrington's rivals will be the St Helens or Wigan, and they're always going to play each other, aren't they? So there's no witness in the competition. So I guess they could play Lee, but Warrington and Catalan, I think, have built up a rivalry between themselves.
That is the first real test for Warrington this year. That will tell us what has changed. You know, they've done really well to get to where they are. Their sole defeat was against Catalan.
I was going to say
Catalan,
that's their sole defeat, yeah.
And now they're at home, there'll be a big expectant crowd, they're pushing for the top of the league, and that's the test that you'd really want them to have, to know if they're more of the real deal than they were this time last year.
Yeah, they're in his coaching box chewing on some pens, will Sam Burgess. Definitely not a vape, definitely a pen. So we're all looking forward to that. I mean, it's kind of like Rivals Round works to an extent, and then you get the features like London Huddersfield where it's done. Can we rename it something different? Can we just say, these are big game weekend, and some other games that are going
still
on? I don't know.
It still would be big
London
game,
Huddersfield.
I don't know.
Well, no, but you know, you just say, yeah, like, Cass Leeds, that's big, and the Saints, Wigan, Derby, it's the only Derby, that's big, and Hull FC and Colquhoun, it's a Derby as well, but it's not a Derby.
The idea of having this Rivals Round works if you have, for me, if you have a series of rounds that are named rounds, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, the heritage round or whatever they have in the NRL, I really like that idea. I don't know why we haven't adopted that. You know,
but each individual club can do it, which doesn't make it a round.
No, I don't get that
armed
idea.
Forces round. Where you can have it in round one or round 27.
Well, clubs like producing these kits, don't they? Was it Castleford's kit the other week that was the year after the war?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. That was a great one. That had great
any
fun,
excuse. Yeah.
Great fun ripping the Castleman media manager at the time about that one. You see the big injury at the weekend, by the way? You remember the World Cup? You remember Brazil? Their captain, Maria, she's playing in Australia. She's broken a finger. She's trying to put it back in, but it's broken. So,
all right.
Get well soon, Maria Grassfinger. Is there anything else? Oh, Paul's mentioned the streaming thing. 4K a season wasn't worth it to the clubs. Does the failure of the deal mean they can stream their own games? I mean, I don't see why not. There isn't.
I mean, this Easter round would be perfect for some of the championship clubs to stream those games.
I'm sure I've seen a tweet about a championship club looking to stream their games on Super League Plus.
Oh.
Whether that's I didn't click it because I don't like to click these things.
And having seen Cornwall put a clip out yesterday, and it had all the graphics on which you would see on an hour league production, which I thought was a bit odd because it wasn't broadcast anywhere, but. Clubs can. All you need is a laptop and a couple of cameras stuck into it. Because you can do the graphics like I do on here. You can see all these graphics on screen.
If Dewsbury
that's free. That's
streamed their game on Good Friday. It's just after Wigan and Saints have finished. It's not going to detract from the crowd. The passionate fans of both sides are still going to want to be there. It's an occasion, you know. You know the heavy woolen Good Friday. Mm. But if the audience you've got by watching Hull, Hull KR and then Wigan and Saints could necessarily pay a fiver and watch Dewsbury and Batley, and it would help the coffers of the clubs, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Oh, well, Inc. Still going, is it?
Who can say?
Who knows?
I think that's it, isn't it? I don't think there's anything else that's happened this week. Unless you can think of something off the top of your head.
No, but that Saints Wigan derby is massive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How many thirds did you referee?
Quite a number, but at Easter, I think I only did one Easter one at Wigan, and it was one of the highlights of my career, to be honest, refereeing that game. It's just
it's already full sold, house and, sold out at TWS this week.
Yeah, is it St Helens? The game I did was at Wigan, and it was a full house at Wigan. It was actually Eddie Hemming's last game on commentary.
Was that why it was a full house?
Might be. No, it was a beautiful day, like, you know, like we had on Sunday. The sun was shining, it felt spring-like, you know, and it just feels like this is what the summer competition is all about, and full house, and it was a great game.
It's going to reflect well on the sport.
Yeah.
I think Cass Leeds is interesting, because clearly that's going to tell us whether Leeds are...
Can they attack?
Well...
Who's the referee? Who's to blame?
It's going to tell you whether they're as mentally fragile as they were for a large portion of last year. But it's also Castleford coming off the win is the one thing they would want to relaunch their season is to have the noisy neighbours at home. So I think there's a great story around that game for both clubs. Hull, Hull KR is almost going to be watching it through your fingers.
Yeah.
But if Hull are going to do anything this year with absolutely nothing to lose in a derby, they may as well go for it.
I tell you what,
I don't know what they've got, but they may as well go for it.
You're brave if you're a Hull fan going to Hull KR
but that's a sellout, so there's going to be a great atmosphere for that. Salford Lee, two teams again that love to attack. You know, Salford, how do they respond to being beaten 40-0? Lee just starting to find a bit of form, but that'll have a lot of points in it, you would have thought. That'll be well worth watching. Warrington Catalan, we've already said, you know, this is the test for Warrington. Catalan have started the season pretty good form. They're not, you know, it's a repeat of a round one game, which, you know, Warrington had a player, couldn't beat a team with a player sent off. So, and then London Huddersfield, which I, good luck to both teams to make that into an event. But
I should add that I should have said this last week, and I forgot that Liam Rush made his Super League debut as a referee in that London Warrington game, and I think the fact that we didn't mention him was probably a positive in itself, wasn't it? You know, because I just thought he refereed the game well, and he wasn't particularly seen. And I don't always subscribe to this idea that, you know, that the best referees are those that are not seen, because sometimes you have to make decisions that make you seen. But I thought it was a solid performance for his debut, and good luck to Liam. And the other piece of officiating news is that Phil Bentham has started today, I believe. Now in a full time capacity as head of match officials, having left now.
I think you may have broken PGMOL. Some news there.
No, I don't think so.
I've not seen that anywhere.
No, well, he was in transition for the last few weeks, wasn't he? But yeah, today he starts. Yeah.
James Veller as well, been getting some good reviews.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've not seen any of his games yet. I think it's just the way it's fallen in the games that I've seen. But yeah, he's had a good run of Super League games. I think he got his first two games the end of last season to make his debut, and then he's carried on where he left off really at the end of last season, which is pleasing to see. James came to the UK just prior to the lockdown, and left his partner at the other side of the world, and then ended up in lockdown living in North Leeds somewhere in a shared house. And a fair play to him, he stuck at it. His partner then joined him sort of post COVID, and you know, it's really pleasing for him to see him get the just rewards.
Keep thinking back to that last Castleford St Helens game, just how everything just the next day was just different. It's weird. Should make a film about it. Last word with Ian, another Ian. When we ditched franchising and brought back promotion and relegation, we marketed the competition as every game mattered. So now we have franchising back, we should market the comp. Most games don't matter. Oh, that's a bit harsh. I don't think that'll work as a slogan. I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, I think to end on a positive, I think this weekend will show what the sport is actually about. Yeah. You know, there's some fantastic fixtures there, whether not just in Super League, as you've rightly said, Phil. So, you know, if you're not, you know, turn on your TV, watch the games, and if you're not, get to a game even better live, because I think there's some fantastic games coming up this weekend.
Got to be your cameraman on the top of the scoreboard so you can film what's going on. Thanks for watching. We'll be back on Tuesday next week because it's Easter Monday and we're on a day off. So join us back on Tuesday. Eating the eggs that are cheap in the supermarkets. If they're not, we'll riot about them more than the Hull fans will be after the derby on Friday. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe and share and leave us a review on iTunes because that helps apparently with the algorithm. So that'd be nice. Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.